My scripture reading this morning is in Jeremiah and chapter 5. So let's go to there and start at the 20th verse, Jeremiah 5. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, Now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so that it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. But this rebellious people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these blessed words, these words of truth, words of life, words of blessings coming our way, or blessings lost. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to grow in you. Help us to abide in your truth. And Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth and help us ever on that way that leads to you. And in the name of your loving Son, we ask. And amen. Well, hopefully this scripture has words within it that would be very instructive to you. And hopefully you can take some of these words to heart. My text to you is the verse 25 of Jeremiah 5. And let's look at this. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Serious comments. It's talking about good that we might have had otherwise, but because of iniquities and sins, blessings otherwise had do not come our way. There was once a pastor, and on a certain Monday morning he went into his church, and he found that his church had been vandalized, and files within the office and the church building had been ransacked. And upon further examination, it was determined by evidence of an envelope left that the thief was rewarded by getting $5. Someone commented, if I was going to steal something, the last thing that I would do would think of breaking into a church. And most of us would have a similar attitude and opinion as that. The church is sacred. It belongs to God. It's God's house. And it's the house of God's people. Its purpose is to serve and to help. And the great majority of us would not ever think of deliberately robbing or stealing from the church. But yet we find within God's Word a place in our Bible that speaks of this and speaks of this directly. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, we find a question. Will a man rob God? That's serious. Malachi has within his book, will a man rob God? And this question from Malachi should penetrate our hearts. And if we think about it long enough, then we arrive at the conclusion that it's very evident that people have been guilty persistently of robbing God. All the way back to the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and living in a place of beauty and harmony with God. We find that back then, at the beginning, Adam and Eve robbed God of that place in their own heart that belonged to God. And as Adam and Eve robbed God, they were also guilty of self-hurt. You cannot disobey God's laws and God's commands and His statutes without hurting yourself in the process, as well as perhaps others, and certainly God. Adam and Eve lost their personal innocence, their peace of mind, security. They were in a perfect place. They had everything provided for them. All their needs were met. But they had God's Word. Do not partake of that tree that I command you. But yet they disobeyed. They lost their peace of mind, their innocence, their security, the fellowship, harmony in fellowship with Almighty Creator God. And in the process, they ushered in upon themselves and all that would follow a sinful nature. In the process of blessings from God lost through disobedience to Him and having iniquities and sins, which are transgressions of God's law. Blessings are turned away. Blessings are lost when we rob God of our time. Thomas Edison said, "Time is the most important thing in the world. Providence plays no favorites in its distribution of time, for we all are allotted our amount of time. God has given us 24 hours in every day and 8,760 hours in every year. And if we live to be the age of 70, it means that God has trusted us with 613,200 hours. Life at its longest is brief and it's uncertain. The psalmist says in Psalms 90 and 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know what true wisdom is?
Fear of the Lord.
Obedience to Him. Not out of fear, but out of love. Because of all that He has done for us and is going to do. Is doing at the present. If we would but just abide in love with Him and obedience, it would affect every aspect of our life. And certainly the here and now, every day. Jesus said in John 9 and 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You know what that means? You know the implications of what Jesus said? There's going to come a point in time, if you're not living when Jesus Christ splits the skies at His second coming, we're going to one day be asleep, in a manner of speaking. Not forever dead. Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall never die." And I take that to heart. And I believe it, and I hold on to it. But we know that Jesus means by this, there's going to come a night when no man can work. Death, however temporary, happens to all. We all enter that sleep, but we all know that that sleep is just a blink of an eye away from eternity with Jesus Christ and our Father Yahweh in that heavenly home that they are now preparing. Work the works while you can. Acknowledge the better way of living your life and help others reach that point in living their life. That's part of our service to God. That's part of what He wants. That's part of the plan. It's a tragedy to waste time. Once it is gone, it can never be recaptured. Idleness, frivolous reading of literature, frivolous literature, peddling gossip, lying in bed longer than necessary. Sitting at the table and partaking way longer than necessary. We need to have the right stewardship of our time, and I believe we'll answer to God for this. Begin your day with worship and prayer. Plan wisely in how you live your life for God and for man. Work diligently. God requires each one of us to do these things. What about that one and only Lord's Day that God gives us? Plan accordingly for that wonderful, holy and sacred day once a week, once every seven, that God gives us. Plan for that day. Realize that day is above all days. It's important. It's part of God's royal law. It's holy. It's set apart above all the other days of the week. It's holy to God. A good steward will never be so busy that they do not have time for recognizing that day that they are to devote to God. We are to worship on that day, giving thanks and praise and honor to the Creator and to His only begotten Son that shed His blood so that all of us would have that chance to ever be restored to God in good standing, and look forward to that time in which we are a part of God's family and we look to being with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our Father Yahweh forever and ever in His family and in His kingdom. So we are to worship that day. We are to be of service. We are to do good on the Sabbath, as Jesus explained Himself. It's good to do good on the blessed holy Sabbath day of God. And it's good to know that we are to receive rest on that Sabbath day. Blessings are turned away when we rob God of our time. It's also blessings are turned away when we rob God of our talents. God has a purpose for every life. And each one of us have special, specific talents that perhaps in some aspects only we have it. And from certain aspects, perhaps only we can be of service to God in reaching that one soul for Him and having the right words to say to them that would draw them into His service. Each talent is a holy responsibility, a God-given opportunity. We have opportunities and time to acquire necessary skills. And we are not to bury our talents. We must render an account one day to Heavenly Father of how we use our time and our talents, and whether we have been faithful in those gifts that God has entrusted us with. Talents grow with use. So we must recognize our talents. We must actively use our talents for God, for our brothers and sisters. Talents should be used every day to help reach more for God's service. The road of faithfulness in little things leads to a city of greater service. Blessings are also turned away when we rob God of our tithes and our offerings and our special contributions. The people of Malachi's day had lost consciousness of the abiding presence of God. They obviously were troubled, perplexed, and insecure. And we can be guilty of the same sin, and we can expect the same consequences, drifting away from God, losing that harmony and fellowship, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Sin separates you from God. We hurt ourselves of having a good conscience. We hurt ourselves of the joy of a great partnership. We hurt ourselves of rewards in heaven. We hurt ourselves of blessedness and happiness in this life. We hurt ourselves of the approval of God. I'd like to go back to Malachi and look at that. In Malachi, let's go back to Malachi. There should be no mistake in our mind what the Word of God teaches us concerning how God is to carry on His Word in our day and time, how He carried it on all the way back to the beginning of time. And in Malachi 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? Very direct question. Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer, in tithes and offerings. You know, in my mind, a lot of people have a warped view of tithes and offerings, a warped view of how God's work is to be carried on in this day and time. But to me, if you're very knowledgeable at all about God's Word in regard to how His house is to be maintained and supported, how His house is to continue and His work is to continue on this earth, it leaves no doubt about the question. God wants to give you blessings. That's the bottom line. He wants to you to realize that you need to do toward him and his laws to you what ends as being happiness of yours. Happiness and blessings. And it all depends on obedience to him. He wants to set the example, and he does set the example himself of giving ultimately of all that he has, even his only begotten Son, for his plan to go forth. But why is it so hard for man to see and accept that God wants you to love? And part of love, the definition is giving. That's what love is. Giving out of concern, having the other person's interest above your own. Giving of yourself. That's what love is. Bring what? Malachi verse 10, chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe. What do you think that means? Bring the whole tithe. What else could it mean but every bit of it? Whatever the tithe is, wherever it comes from, the tithe, bring the whole tithe into where? The storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Is that not clear? Do you want blessings? Do you want blessings to the degree that it is not only fair and right and good, but it's way beyond that? Blessings that it fills up to the full and overflows. The house of God is where we are to bring our tithes and offerings. The place in which God places his blessings and designates as a place to worship him. God's storehouse, where the blessings that you are to receive now and in the future, they're stored up. The storehouse. The storehouse of all that God has for us. In Exodus 20 and verse 24 is an early verse that points in that direction. Let's look at Exodus 20:24. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. Study it yourself. Go to the references. There's all kind of references in God's Word that has to do with tithes and offerings, and whether it's expected of you today. and what you should do with it. How much of it? All of it. Where to take it? Where God instructs. Where His work is going on. Where His blessings go from. Where you receive your spiritual help and guidance. It's all very obvious when you study in the Word of God. What if we do not agree with some of these ideas? What if we do not agree with that? We just don't go along with that kind of scenario, that kind of theology, thinking, whatever. Verse 11, "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes." In other words, the success of your planting your crops and your vineyard and whatever you have that you help with provide your food and your sustenance. All of that is at stake, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, what if we do not? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Is that not clear? God says this of the ones who rob Him in not seeing the wisdom of returning a portion of what God has blessed you back to Him so that His work may be carried on in this earth and so that you can receive more of the blessings that He has for you. And as you do it, you will not only be blessed to the full that God has for you, but you will be blessed to the overflowing. How many wants to be that blessed this morning? I certainly do. All the nations will call you blessed, and you shall be a delightful land. Your words, in verse 13, your words have been arrogant against me. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said in verse 14, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept His charge? And that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. We're reading of what's going to happen, what God expects, what's going to happen if we obey Him, what's going to happen, and what we can expect if we don't. And what if we do obey? We see that in verse 10, 11, and 12. Look at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and esteem His name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I prepare mine own possession, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. And listen to these last comments in the last of the book of Malachi. For behold, The day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evil, angry evildoer will be chafed. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like a calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Oreb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. We all need to take those words to heart. We all need to know what the Bible truly says about tithes and offerings. Let's go to Genesis 14 and verse 20. Genesis 14 and verse 20. And blessed be God, Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. This was one of the earliest accounts of tithes being given to God. And it was by Abraham himself. And it was given to who? The priest of God, Melchizedek, having neither father or mother. Very mysterious when you read that. Implications that it could have been Jesus Christ. One of the earliest accounts. Study it yourself. See what you think about the descriptions of Melchizedek and how it is that Abraham gave tithes, gave a tenth to Melchizedek. Let's look at Hebrews 7. And let's just start at verse 4. Really, Hebrews 7, 1 through 10 would be a good place for you to read and study. Hebrews 7, let's go to 4. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect the tenth from the people, that is, their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Those are wonderful, wonderful words. Let's look finally at Matthew 23, verse 23. Some people say giving tithes to the church, giving tithes to God, is not in the New Testament. And just looking for excuses to not support God, not be obedient to God, not to support the church and the carrying on of God's work. Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done. And here's the part. Without neglecting the others. Do you see? Do these things you're not doing in promoting justice and mercy and faithfulness. Do these things you're not doing without neglecting the tithes and offerings that you are bringing to God. And in their case, implication would be, you pay tithes and offerings in the littlest of things. In these mint and dill and cumin. That's how far you take the tithes and offerings. But yet his words is, look to the mightier things, but don't forget what you're already doing. Do what you're doing, but do more. Expand it. Let's go to Luke 11:42. In the same kind of a same record. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So it's clear. Blessings can be and are turned away by our sins and our iniquities and being disobedient to God in every regard. We should make sure our time is spent for Him. We should make sure our talents are given to Him. And we should never, ever forget that He blesses us with all that we have. Do you know His Word says, all is mine. The cows on a thousand hills. Everything is mine. And we would ask ourselves, what are we going to take with us from this life? Are we going to take our land that He has allowed us to live upon for a brief period of time? Are we going to take any of it with us? Our house? Our cars, any material goods whatsoever? Is it going to go across the great divide? No. It's going to be here for the next one that comes along. But God owns it all. And we should know that part of God's plan is that as He has blessed and is blessing us, then He requires a small portion of that return to Him. And as a result of that, blessings can more abundantly come to us. But it is love to God and obedience to Him that is our primary focus. Right now, I'd like for all of us to stand, and I would like for all of us to read this blessing of God to us and our blessing to each other. Let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful